Well, Romans chapter 8 today, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 17 today. And as has become our custom, I'll be reading the odd verses and you get to read the even verses. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. And just to make sure you understand, there's a lot to unpack in these verses, okay? So really one sermon or one message doesn't really give justice to these passages necessarily, but there is an applicable truth that we're going to focus on today. And so we're going to read here these 17 verses in Romans chapter 8, and I'll begin with verse 1, and you join me on the even verses following. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye lived after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Well, today we're going to, I hope you noticed, one of the things that was mentioned in the reading is that we are to walk after the Spirit. We're supposed to walk a certain way as believers. The Word of God talks about many times walking. And walking is a pretty basic mode of transportation for a human being, right? How many of you remember learning to walk? Okay, nobody, right? Okay. But it's a process, is it not? How many of you are at some time in today's cycle, you walked somewhere. Okay, yeah, okay, good. And nobody crawled around, and I'm pretty sure that most of you did not just run from place to place. But walking, I would say, is a pretty standard, normal mode of transportation for people, right? So, although sometimes in our Christian life, we will be stationary, right? We may even sit down or stand up, etc. We may run, perhaps, right? We may crawl. that may be true. We may sprint, perhaps. We may jump in the Christian life. But most of the time in a Christian's life, you're going to be walking. Okay? Walking. And that's just something that's going to be true for us in our life. So as a believer, I believe that there is a way to walk. There's a way to walk. And guess what? There's a way not to walk as a believer. All right? And so we see that we're to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And so obviously there's a way to and a way not to. So we're going to talk about simply walking after the spirit, or if you will, the way a believer walks. The way that we walk. Now, it's kind of just a thing. Do you know that everybody kind of has a little bit of a way they walk? Right? You understand? There's a certain cadence or, I'm missing the word that I really want, but I'll think of it in a minute. But there's a way that a person carries themselves when they walk. Okay? One day, I think I was at work, and I think I had pulled a muscle or something. And I was walking down the hallway differently than I normally did. And one of the secretaries said, "Is something wrong with you?" I said, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Well, you don't normally walk that way." I'm like, "Okay." I said, my leg hurts or whatever. Okay, but do you understand there's a way people walk? And do you know people notice? Right? People notice. Can I tell you something? People notice how you as a Christian walk. And the Bible has much to say about how a believer walks. Go to Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at several of these passages today. And just to kind of get some characteristics in here of how we as a Christian, we as a believer in Jesus Christ, are to walk. Romans chapter 6, are you there? Verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." In newness of life. A believer should walk in newness of life. Just like that day that I walked down the hallway and had a different cadence to my walk, someone noticed, right? And so should people notice that you're not walking the same way you used to walk. That there's something different about your life. That your life is new in Jesus Christ. And we should walk in newness of life. He continues and says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace." We have a new way to walk. Walking in newness of life. One of the things, as we baptize people, we say, buried in the likeness of death, raised to walk in newness of life. We have been born again. We have salvation. We have been freed from sin, and we no longer have to live in it. We no longer have to walk in it. We can walk a different way. If this is how we walked when we were in sin, Now we can walk this way a little bit, maybe a lighter step, etc. There's a new way to walk. It's walking in newness of life in Christ Jesus. That is the way a believer should walk. Go to Romans chapter 7. Right there, look at verses 5 and 6. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. You know that word that he uses there, the motions. Oh, well, what is something that happens when we walk? We make what? Motions, right? So these motions were the old motions. Now we have new motions. A new way to walk. It's newness of life. He says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You understand that there's a newness of life in Jesus Christ. Amen. There are new motions to the way we walk in our life. It is new. It is not old. It is not supposed to be old. We're not supposed to go back to the old. We're supposed to stay in the new. And that's how a believer is supposed to walk. You know, you're not supposed to walk the old way anymore. You're not supposed to. You say, well, I used to carry myself like this. And every once in a while, it's kind of nice to go back to that. I just kind of like to reminisce a little bit. Because now I walk like this. I mean, why would you want to walk like that? I don't know. But you understand. But we're not supposed to go back to the old way we walked. We're supposed to stay in the new way to walk. Because we are dead to the old way. The old way is gone. It's been destroyed. It is no longer valid in our lives. You know, as a child develops, and I know just a tiny bit about child development. I've only witnessed it 11 times, you understand. But you understand that as a child develops, when they first begin walking, it's a certain way. But as they develop, they change. They don't usually go backwards in their development. They keep going forwards. And we ought to go forward. We ought to not to go back to the old way we walked. We ought to continue in the newness of life in Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be flipping again today, so make sure you got your flippers ready. We read in our text that we are now to walk in the Spirit, and because we should be after the things of the Spirit. We're supposed to be not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And in the Spirit of God is the newness of life in Jesus Christ, and that's how we are to walk. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You understand that we have a new life in Christ, and that is how a believer is to walk. We're supposed to walk the new way. We're not supposed to walk the old way. A believer is supposed to walk in newness of life. Well, go to Galatians chapter 6. Just a few more books of the Bible over. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Just talking about the way a believer is supposed to walk. We're supposed to walk in newness. If we are of Christ, we are born again. We are not dead in our sins any longer. Nor should we walk in sin any longer. We should walk in newness of life. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen." You understand that there is a new creature. There's a newness of life, and we're not supposed to walk in it. And guess what? Don't bug me about it. That's what Paul said today. That this is the way it is. This is the rule of life that we have. We understand that the way we walk matters. Listen, if you are born again, then walk like you're born again. And if you're not, then walk whatever way you want to. But there's a new way to walk in Jesus Christ as a believer, and we ought to walk in newness of life. You see, our walk should be identifiable. People should know who and what we are. Should they not? Who out there is trying to be an undercover Christian? Okay? I hope not. We're not supposed to hide our light under a bushel. Right? We're not supposed to go around and try not to be noticed. We're supposed to be noticed. And when I walk down the hallway, people understand that there's a way that I walk. I'm kind of heavy with my heel. And I kind of pronounce on my left side a little bit. So there's a little bit of a cadence to my walk. People know that's who I am. And if you're around me any length of time, you know my walk. And if you're around us any length of time, people should know our walk as believers. It should be in newness. It should not be in the old life. It should be new. Because we have been made new because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made new. Our sins have been washed away. We've been given eternal life. Hey, listen. There ought to be a difference in your walk just because of that. Just because of that. We are no longer what we used to be. And thank God that's true. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You understand here in Romans chapter 8, it said that we are to not walk after the flesh, but rather after the Spirit. For how can we walk after the Spirit unless we walk in newness of life and unless we walk in faith? Walk in faith. What is it that you are holding to for salvation? What is it? Are you holding onto Jesus Christ and faith in Him or not? For by grace are ye saved? Oh, yeah. That thing. Through faith. It is faith. What did Jesus chide His disciples about more than anything? Their faith. I mean, He is after them continually about faith. Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Look at verses 6, 7, and 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. That is how our walk is defined. How do we walk? We walk in newness of life. How do we walk? We walk by faith. Hey, listen. Can I ask you a question? How do you know that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, plus nothing, minus nothing? How do you know that this book is God's word? How do you know that this is the right kind of church? How do you know that your sins can be forgiven? How do you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? How do you know that God formed this world in 6 literal days and rested on the 7th? How do you know that the children of Israel were God's chosen people? How do you know all these things? Ah, by faith. He said, well, it's because this old book says so. Well, how do you know this old book is right? By faith. Can people argue with you about it? Sure. Can they pose different theories and different ideas? Could they be right? Possibly. But you and I say, no, absolutely not. Why do we say such? Well, yes, it is by faith. Hey, listen, I am a Baptist from the bottom of my feet, top of my bald head. And my feet are bald too, so that works. I match on both sides. You understand? I can defend the faith, if you will. But it's faith. And can I tell you something? To be honestly true, if you will, it is the theory of evolution. Okay, that's a theory. It's not fact. Don't let science teachers tell you otherwise. You know why? They cannot reproduce it in a laboratory. Therefore, it's a theory. To be fair, creation can't be reproduced in a laboratory. So to be fair, creation's a theory. Can anybody reproduce? And God said, let there be light. No? So why do I believe it so? Why do I say that it is the truth? Why do I say it is the truth of creation and the truth of this world and how things were and that there are evidences and evidences and evidences and evidences and evidences that prove that it is? But rather, it is all those things, but also what is it mostly? Faith. And how do I walk? Walk by faith. I walk by faith. We ought to walk by faith as believers. Hey, listen, don't let somebody be able to shake you in your faith. You ought to know why you believe what you believe. Why do you believe it? It's not because the preacher said so, folks. It's not because mom and daddy said so. It's because you know so. Where is the level of your faith? Are you of little faith? No faith? Well, where is your faith? Hey, Jesus said if you just have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain, go over here and do this over there. You can do anything. How are we doing walking in faith? Paul said in Romans 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by the law. Uh-oh. That's not what it says? The just shall live by rationale. The just shall live by proofs and reason. No. The just shall live by faith. By faith. Colossians 2, 5 through 7. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein, with thanksgiving. We're supposed to be established in the faith. We're supposed to walk in the faith. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. What did Jesus tell Thomas? He said, hey, I guess I really don't mind that you said you're not going to believe unless you put your hand in my side and feel the nail prints in my hands. He said, but blessed are those that believe without seeing. You understand, folks, that I have not physically seen Jesus Christ.
nor have you.
You know where he is? He's at the right hand of the Father right now. Yeah, he is. I can think of just a few examples of people post-ascension that saw Jesus. Remember Stephen, a man full of what? Oh, he was full of faith. Oh, yes. And boy, I'd like to be that kind of preacher. That guy put up a fight. And as he was being stoned to death, he looked up to heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. That's pretty amazing. Apostle Paul kicked off his beast of burden on the road to Damascus. Looked up. Lord, what would thou have me to do? I'm just saying. You understand that we've got to, it's not by sight, but rather by faith. Hey, listen, I believe this is the Word of God. Because I have decided by faith to believe it. I know for sure if I die today, I'm going to heaven. You know why? By faith. It's by faith. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I believe that He has forgiven me of my sin and given me that gift of eternal life by faith. That's how I walk. I'm a believer in Christ. You understand in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You know what that is? That's a confidence in your walk. You know, some people that walk, they walk confidently. Because they're walking by faith. They believe something. They know something is sure. They know something is true. There's not a tentativeness to how they walk. It is a pace. It is a confidence. There is a surety of their steps. That is how a believer is to walk. In newness of life. And in faith. Oh, by the way, it's faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. We're not driven by the wind and tossed. We're not unsure of things in our lives. We are rather sure because of faith. And that's how a believer is to walk. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So Paul said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it..." Oh, go to Hebrews 11 while I'm reading. This is verses 1 through 3. "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So, are you there in Hebrews 11? I want you to see this. I forgot that I was going to have you go over there. Just go with me here in this chapter. This is called the Hall of what? Okay, good. Verse 4, by faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. But, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." Verse 7, "By faith Noah." Verse 8, "By faith Abraham." Going on down here, "By faith Abraham," verse 17. "By faith Isaac," verse 20. By faith Jacob," 21. "By faith Joseph," 22. 23, "By faith Moses," and talking about his life, "by faith, and by faith, and through faith, and by faith, verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not." All these things, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, the kings, all of these, by faith. We have a host of witnesses. We're compassed about that have walked in the faith and walked by faith. That's how a believer is supposed to walk.
by faith.
James chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. How's a believer supposed to walk? In newness of life. How's a believer supposed to walk? By faith. Well, go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know how a believer is supposed to walk? In newness of life, walk by faith, and walk spiritually. Walk after the Spirit. Hey, you know what? The same person that told me that I walk a certain way and I wasn't walking that way made mention to me that she noticed that my son Ethan walks like I do. Isn't that interesting? Now he's going to be conscious of it. I don't think I've ever told him that before. But told you that before, son? She told me that. She's like, you know your son Ethan walks just like you. I said, well, I guess. You know, people say that children are great mimickers. They are. We ought to be great mimickers. We ought to walk after the Spirit. Hey, how many of you think the Spirit walks a good way? Oh, yeah. How about the best way? So is it such a bad thing to walk like the Spirit of God? To be spiritual? Hey, listen, in our lives, listen, being spiritual is not being a Pharisee. It's not holding your nose up so high that you're going to drown if it rains. That's not walking spiritually. No, but to walk spiritually is to walk after the Spirit. To follow His example. To follow His leading. To follow His pattern, His cadence, and how He walks. Gait, that's the word I wanted to use. I was thinking about horses. Horses have a certain gait, a way that they walk. Some are rough, some are smooth. Okay, you understand? So we ought to have a certain way about us that we walk. And it ought to be by example of the Spirit, not the flesh. We know what the flesh does. We know how the flesh walks. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Go to like Galatians chapter 5. Back to Galatians chapter 5. We read a few verses from Galatians 5. We're going to read a few more. Beginning in verse 16. I guess we read out of Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Oh, this is so nice. How do you like it? How many of you like it when the Bible is plain as day? Okay? Are we talking about the way believers walk? Good. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Who needs a definition? Nobody? You all are wonderful students. Of course you don't need a definition. It's plain as the nose on your face. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Hey, he's even telling us what the flesh walks like. adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. How's a believer supposed to walk? They're supposed to walk in newness of life. We're supposed to walk in faith. And we're supposed to walk spiritually. We ought to understand that this is how God wants us to walk. The Spirit of God is within us as a believer in Jesus Christ. And we are to follow His leading. Not ignore it. When He says, do this, we ought to do this. When He says, go here, we ought to go here. When He says, don't go there, we ought not to go there. We ought to do that. We ought to follow the Spirit, not the flesh. You know where the flesh will lead you? To destruction. To destruction. You know where the Spirit will lead you? To life. Will lead you into life. I got to go quickly. You say, but that's the third point. I know this message doesn't have 3 points. I'm not going to tell you how many it has. Flip over one book of the Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Walk in newness. Walk in faith. Walk in the Spirit. Walk consistently. You know what? One of the most frustrating things about being a human being is inconsistency. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And we're all like that, aren't we? Yeah. How many of you wish you were perfect? Okay. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? That would be such a relief, wouldn't it? One day we'll put on incorruption, won't we? That new body, aren't you looking forward to that in heaven? Well, but until then, we need to learn to walk consistently. In Ephesians chapter 4, here we are in verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Folks, we just need to learn to be consistent. Once you're saved and born again, are you never going to sin again? No. You probably are from time to time. But can I ask you this? Can we reduce the amount of times that we sin and increase the amount of times that we don't? Yes. Hey, these groups out there that preach sinless perfection, yeah, okay. Good luck with that. I met a guy once, he said, yeah, I haven't sinned in 12 years. Liar, you just did. I'm just saying, I mean, that's not God's expectation of us, folks. But He does want us to be consistent. You know, God wants us to improve. He wants us to grow. He wants us to put away these things and walk more in the Spirit than we used to. And less in the flesh than we used to. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Colossians 1, 9 through 14 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Are you walking worthy of the Lord? Are you being consistent in your Christian life? Or are you like the children of Israel? Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Is your life a roller coaster?
Whee!
Okay, listen. It's not supposed to be that way. We ought to be pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling God in Christ Jesus. We ought to be finishing our course. We ought to be keeping the faith. We ought to be doing these things on a consistent basis. And the longer you're a believer, the better you should be at it. Walk consistently. How about this one? Walk in love. We talked about love and truth last week. Walk in the truth. Walk in love. He says, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." What is love? And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Now, I'm not going to re-preach last Sunday's sermon, because we're already at the end of this sermon. That's how we're supposed to walk, folks. In truth and in love. Well, let's wrap things up here. We also ought to walk with caution. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 and 17, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We have to walk carefully. Are there snares out there that the Christian can fall into? Are there stumbling blocks that could be in our pathway that we need to watch out for? Is there an enemy, an adversary out there trying to devour us? To put pitfalls in our way? To derail us, to sidetrack us, to get us out of the path of God? Are those things true? Yes. Then how should we walk? Carefully. We should walk with caution. We should walk circumspectly, knowing what's about us. Because God wants us to survive. He wants us to succeed. He doesn't want us to be shipwrecked. He doesn't want us to be cast away. We ought to want to walk with caution. Not tentatively per se, but as wise. Knowing what's out there. Do you know that God tells us the pitfalls? God tells us the stumbling blocks? God tells us the snares? God tells us that there's an adversary? We ought to walk in knowledge, knowing what's out there. Not like, oh, well, I hope I make it on this path. I'm not sure it'll take me where I need to go. You should know. You should be sure. We ought to walk with caution. Then lastly, we ought to walk in the light. And walk like the light. We understand that Jesus is the light. And we ought to walk as Jesus walks. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Hebrews 4 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was all in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You understand that Jesus Christ is our perfect example of how to walk. And we ought to walk in the light, and we ought to walk like the light. I just want to kind of encourage you, as believers in Christ, of how we're supposed to walk. There's a lot of things to study here. There's a lot of things to go off of. But can I tell you something? Just a few. To walk in newness, walk in faith, to walk spiritually, to walk consistently, to walk in love, to walk with caution, and to walk like the light and in the light is how a believer is to walk. And if you're not a believer today, you can come to Christ. There's room at the cross for you. You can walk up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want salvation. And you can have it. And you can start the walk of a Christian. But without Christ, there's only one way to walk, and that's in the flesh. After the things of the flesh. Because you know not Christ. But those of us that are saved, I want to encourage you today to learn how a believer walks. And then walk that way.